the number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Glad you can be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. The NBA Draft, rounds one and two in the books. I thought it was a good show, not a great show tonight. I thought some of the picks filled needs. I wasn't overly amazed by it. It did lack, I think, a little bit of the what were they thinking factor. I don't think there was a team that like made a huge mistake. Again, draft is a tricky business because we all are kind of armchair scouts, right? If you watch college athletics, whether college football or college basketball, we have an idea of what works at the next level and what doesn't, even though we're not paid necessarily to make those analysis for teams. But I think we all look at players and say, oh, I can't believe that he went in the first round, or I can't believe he didn't go in the first round. We all kind of have that. I don't see anything in this draft that makes me think that a team made a gigantic mistake. But I do see teams filling some needs. And you can make some arguments for or against a couple of players, but overall, looking at draft grades and how, you know, look, they're all either A's and B's. I don't think there's any mistakes.
The one I didn't understand was the Bucks taking Thon Maker at 10, because they seem like a team that is built to kind of, I don't want to say make a run at the East, but they could be in the playoffs and make some noise. And Thon Maker is a complete project.
Oh, he is a complete
unknown
project.
So that's where he just doesn't fit with the Jabari Parker, you know, those
young, very good Bucks.
Yeah, that are exactly. I don't know how to say his name. The Giannis.
Oh, yeah, Giannis.
However you say that guy's name.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. So, I mean, they got talent there, and he just doesn't seem to fit with what they're doing. That's the one pick I would say that surprised me, at least in the lottery.
Yeah, but again, as far as picks go, I really wished we had that one where, you know, it was a what are they thinking? But I think that is because it feels like there were the top two picks, and then there was everyone else was just okay, like good players, and they were all in that big pool, and you could pull them out and place them in different places. And outside of they have too many guards or they have too many big men or whatever, you could make those little tiny, you know, exceptions. But for the most part, these were really good, serviceable players going on teams with needs. And I don't think anybody pulled a guy way, way, way early or made a complete mess of the draft. I don't think you have selections that are way out of whack. And I think that sort of made the show a little, you know, look, I like all the analysis, like the next guy, right? When Buddy Hield is taken and Jay Billis wants to go on a little rant of why this is good or why this isn't good, that's fine. But I felt tonight a lot of the analysis and a lot of the criticism was stretching, like really, really nitpick. And so in that sense, it wasn't as exciting as other drafts where we clearly had some guys going, wow, that was a mistake. Where are they heading? Why are they doing that? So again, the big trade that we talked about earlier tonight, Oklahoma City and Orlando, you know, Serge Ibaka going to the Magic and Victor Oladipo going and Sabonis and Ilyasova going to the Thunder, I think works great for Oklahoma City. Still confused about why this is a big deal for Orlando. I think the only way we broke it down was I think that Vogel might be stripping it down and building. But other than that, I don't know. I tried. I mean, We talked about it earlier, and I tried figuring out, is there something I'm missing from this? And I didn't really see anything. But for the Thunder, it's very clear. They're really trying to make sure that they keep their pitch for Kevin Durant, who is, you know, going to do the tour, I guess. You know, Oklahoma City should be the odds-on favorite to land Durant. Durant shouldn't want to go anywhere. He's going to get the money. He's going to be on a team that was very close to going to the finals, that people now feel very strongly that they are capable of beating Golden State. They are built to play, you know, that kind of basketball that can beat Golden State. So I don't know why, unless he wants to go to Golden State. So I think he's the front runner to stay in Oklahoma City. Now I will say this. There are sometimes when a player moves, yes, it's about winning a title, or it's about better chance to win a title, but it's also some under, you know, some seeds. I don't like playing here, or I just don't like the coach or the management or whatever. I don't get that sentiment from Kevin Durant that he's unhappy there, but I think you are, it is good for you to do the tour. These guys are all ego driven anyway. It's always good to do the tour. Carmelo Anthony was going to stay in New York 2 years ago, but instead he let the Rockets wine and dine him. He let the Bulls wine and dine him because you want that feeling of being wanted. I think there's a natural desire that, you know, players want to see what's on the other side. Doesn't mean they'll go anywhere. So when Phil Jackson makes his push to Kevin Durant about coming to the Knicks, what can he sell? Carmelo Anthony, Derrick Rose, and New York? Does that work for Kevin Durant? Maybe, but I doubt it. Because if you want to win a championship, right where you are in Oklahoma City is the best place to do so. And now that the Thunder make this deal, getting you some pieces that they think is going to be the right pieces to pursue a championship, I think you stick around. Look, and I like New York. I like the Knicks. The Knicks fans are some of the best fans in the world. But there's some work that has to be done there. And if you go, anybody who goes better make sure you've got a buffer of a couple of years to see what Phil Jackson is going to continue to do. I think playing with Porzingis must be great, to play with a young, talented player like that, to get a shooter like Carmelo Anthony, to get a point guard like Derrick Rose, albeit not the MVP, but still a very serviceable and good player at that position. But I still think there are some pieces to work. I don't think the Knicks now are Kevin Durant away from being an NBA championship team, but I know the Thunder can be. And I think you stay right there. I think Jamal Murray going to the Denver Nuggets is a great move for Denver. I think they're going to love Murray. He can shoot. He's got that backcourt's going to be spectacular. Do the Nuggets have some other holes to fill? Of course. But I think your backcourt now in Denver is going to be great with Murray and Emmanuel Mudiay, who they got last year in the draft. I said this tonight, and I'll keep saying it. I think Buddy Hield was a great, great pickup for New Orleans. A couple of draft grades gave it a B, B minus. I gave it an A. I think this is great. He's a more seasoned guy. Anthony Davis is needing a guard, needs another kind of a scoring option. I think this is a perfect place for him in New Orleans. You know what? It was funny because I think tonight one of the conversations that the staff on the panel was talking about was Deontay Murray of Washington getting drafted by San Antonio. This is how great is that, even though you go late in the first round, to be tagged on a team that has such success like the Spurs. I remember when I was in Colorado, I was covering Nate Solder, the offensive lineman for the Colorado Buffaloes. And he was going to, you know, he was in the draft and we were wondering where he was going to land. And, you know, teams would come and they needed offensive help and they didn't take him, and more teams were picking and picking and picking. And then he finally landed with the New England Patriots. All I kept thinking was, it's worth the wait when you get picked by the New England Patriots. You may go like, oh man, but if you're going to go in that area anyway, you might as well go to a team that is constantly going to the playoffs and is a championship contender. Murray could have gone 28th to the Phoenix Suns and helped the Suns build. Or he could have gone to Philadelphia at 26, and the Sixers are still trying to put together a team, you know, that's going to be formidable in a couple of years. But he went to San Antonio and now gets to work with Greg Popovich and now is on a team and a culture of a team that is all about winning and being successful. Same with Damian Jones. Yes, you got in late in the first round. Yes, you could have made more money going higher. But now you're a center pick on a team like Golden State that needs big men. Now, I don't know what kind of impact Damian Jones makes, but he has been selected by the Warriors, and the Warriors will be kicking around for a few years. I think it's a great place to land. Yeah, if you're a Philadelphia 76er right now, the future is bright, but right now you have a lot of work to do. If you're Ben Simmons, you have a lot of work to do. If you're Brandon Ingram, you have a lot of work to do. And that's why they're going to get paid the kind of top dollars that they get paid in the draft. But if you start going down, there are turnkey organizations that are a player or two away from doing something because they have talent there and we're missing something. I don't know if Buddy Hield turns the New Orleans Pelicans into a playoff contender, but I know this. The plan for New Orleans isn't 2 or 3 years down the road to be good. The plan for New Orleans is starting making the playoff push today. You don't necessarily have that conversation in Philadelphia. You don't have that conversation yet in Los Angeles until free agency begins and the Lakers start spending some of that dough. So, people and places tonight. Players were put in positions tonight of need. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio. Coming up, news of the night. That means, Doug, you're almost ready to go home. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, that music means it's time for Adam's News of the Night. But before we do that, we want to go to Rod in Wisconsin, who has a thought on the NBA draft tonight. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
Always. No problem.
So, I'll start by saying I'm a Laker fan. Well, I was a Kobe fan, so obviously I follow the Lakers. Brandon Ingram, I like it. You know, I don't think there was any one piece in this draft where you go, wow, our fortunes have changed. We've got a guy that's, you know, make our rebuilding process cut it short by 3 years or something like
exactly.
that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That was my complaint tonight. There wasn't that pop. There wasn't that, oh, my God, this guy is the guy. I mean, there wasn't that. And that has a lot to do with the players that were involved. But I found tonight rather, you know, ordinary, just okay, because of that reason. There wasn't a guy where we all left the draft going, that team got the guy and watch out now. Ben Simmons is still going to work it out. Brandon Ingram is still going to work it out. But there's no real pop in this draft.
Right. I do love what Denver did, putting Murray next to Emmanuel Mudiay now.
Yes, I do too.
I think that's a good thing.
I'm
part of the sports page, like a really active sports page. And when I first got on there, I said, Ben Simmons has all the tools to be a great NBA player. But there's something about his attitude that just makes me feel like I'm going to ride my God-given talent and I'm not going to work hard at all. Like, I don't – there's just something off about the way he approached the draft coming up and just the way he talks to people. It's just – I don't know. That's just me, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I've always found Simmons to be perplexing. I was watching him at LSU this year. I thought he was a fantastic player, and I saw the NBA potential. But I think you're on to something a bit. I think there is something that's a little bit there's something a little different about him. I don't want to say it's necessarily bad because we're going to see it play out, but I think you might be on to something, Rod. Thanks for the call, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Now it is time for Adam's News of the Night, where we go beyond the headlines. Can we get the music back? Because I like having the music when we're on there. Yeah, love that. Yeah, because it reminds me of Linus. And I'm sorry, Schroeder, sitting there playing the piano. All right, what's story number one?
Story number one comes to us from Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Are you scared of heights?
Yes, kind of.
Yes, I am scared of heights. Whenever I get closer, just look down.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all. So this is at the U.S. Bank Tower in downtown Los Angeles. It's the tallest skyscraper west of the Mississippi. They just did kind of a remodel of the whole building, you know, just different parts of the building. Well,
right.
One thing they did on the 70th floor was they built a glass slide that only went down one story.
Oh, how great is this?
To the 69th floor, but it's all glass. It's obviously completely clear, and you slide on, you get on like one of those sack things, like you get on the carnival for that one big slide.
Oh my God.
And
so
you slide, it kind of goes around a little corner, goes out a little bit and goes around a corner, and
now,
you slide down.
Now where is this, the top of the building?
Yeah, the 70th floor. It's towards the top, not at the very top, but right up there.
All right, so does it look like you're going to fall off the building when you slide down the slide?
Basically, like, cause when you lean over and go over the edge, you're kind of going out, and then you turn to go down to the platform to get
to
the next floor.
That's fantastic.
It seems so simple just being one floor down, you know? It's not 10 feet.
I'm going nowhere near that.
No, me neither, and that's the thing. It's like a simple slide, but it's the fact that you could fall 70 floors.
Yeah, I don't need that in my life. I do not need that in my life. But because of the stress, I saw a video that went viral quickly. There's a glass bridge in China. Completely glass. It looks like, you ever seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie or the Temple of, I don't know, what's the third one with Sean Connery, where he has to take the leap of faith to go get by the way, I am assuming you've watched Raiders of the Lost Ark movies,
yes,
but you haven't
yes,
watched
have.
Star Wars, so I'm not even sure if you're a Harrison Ford fan.
No, yes, I've seen those.
Yeah, there's that moment where he has to take the leap of faith, and it's like an optical illusion, the bridge, and he has to take that step. But he, you know, to cross over to get the chalice, what he was looking for. This bridge is glass. When you step on it, you don't know what you're just taking a step on a glass bridge, and you can't. It's straight down, and you can see it, but there's glass. People are panicking. They're on the bridge, panicking. They're holding on to the sides. They're crying. They're crawling on their hands and knees, taking it inch by inch, because mentally they can't figure out the bridge is glass and they're going to be okay.
They just see
the fall and they go.
Right, yeah. I just put the story up on my Twitter, at Adam G. Sager, the link to the story. That kind of shows some pictures. And
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And like
yeah,
I
go
said,
to Adam G. Sager and see it.
It's not a very, like, it's not a long slide. Because, like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's probably like 10, 12 stories and it's all glass and that would really freak me out. But I still wouldn't do it just going down one story.
That is great. A marvel of engineering. A marvel of engineering. God, that's awesome. All right, story number two.
Story number two comes from Chicago. A man... 7 years ago, or no, I'm sorry, 2007, won the lottery.
Oh,
and since then, he won, just won $50,000. Okay. Since then, he's played the exact same numbers, trying to win it again. So, last month, he won $1 million. Just over $1 million.
Wow.
The key to this whole thing, his name is Larry Gambles.
Oh, how cool is that?
Just the fact that he won twice in 1 year or one lifetime doesn't happen very often.
Using the same numbers.
Right. Especially using the same numbers.
Yeah, those are usually pretty good odds of that you will not land them in back-to-back numbers. Usually you hear lottery winners win because it's random.
Now, if you won the lottery, $50,000, and you won with certain numbers, would you have the will to keep playing the same numbers until you won again?
Yeah, see, theoretically, the you have the same exact odds, right?
Right.
Like, you know, like, it's like people on roulette. Like, if you went up to a table and you played four and you just kept playing four and it hit three times in a row, people would say, well, don't bet four. It, you know, you've already kind of cashed that cow out. But the reality is that the ball hitting four again is the same odds as any other number because they're all independent outcomes. But I would be more likely to probably take different numbers because I would think I'm never going to see the combination that made me win $50,000.
Especially after almost a decade of doing it. You're like,
yeah, exactly.
I haven't won. Obviously, it's really hard to win the lottery. It's not like, oh, I should have won by now.
Good for him.
But
the lottery is so weird. I remember when Powerball was up to like half a billion or a billion and a half, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I bought the ticket, and I remember thinking what my life would be like if I won. Knowing there was no chance of me winning, it still didn't stop me from thinking about all the things I would do if I had won.
Yeah, you can't help yourself but think
about
it.
You know, I think I bought everybody in the family a ticket, and we were all just kind of sitting around watching the drawing and just going, oh, this is going to be great. And then the first number comes up, we all lost immediately. It didn't take long. But they're still kind of interesting. They're interesting psychological thought process. All right, do you have time for story number three?
Yes. Story number three, real quick, is a shirt you can buy that looks like J.R. Smith's body with all
his
tattoos.
I want that. I thought I heard this. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because I thought I heard that. J.R. Smith's body tattoo shirt. Of course.
I just tweeted it on my Twitter at Adam G. Sager.
Yeah,
you can go look at it.
I don't think I would wear it, but I think I would like to have it hanging up
right.
Or something. This is a piece of memorabilia. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. A little bit before we get into the Major League Baseball wrap-up, as Steven on Twitter said, I wouldn't do this at gunpoint. There's no way. Talking about your glass slide idea. Yeah, I'm with you, Steven. I ain't going down that.
I couldn't do it.
Would you do it if you had a few things in you? Like if you were like, a little drinking, having fun? Would you go down it? Or would you say, no, it's even not even worth no, no chance.
No, I don't think I would. I hate heights. I'm the one that even in a building that's secure with windows that don't open.
Oh right.
I don't like getting close and looking down.
You know, I go to amusement parks and I like roller coasters and all that stuff and I'll go on them. I'm getting a little older, so some of them are freaking me out a little bit. But the one ride I won't do those drop rides. I won't do those rides where you get pulled up and then you get let go and you fall down.
Oh, you just free fall down,
where
straight
you free
down.
Fall
yeah,
down.
No,
chance.
No.
No chance. And it actually happened to me at Kings Island in Cincinnati years ago. We went out there. My brother lives outside there, and we went there. And my brother was like, "Let's go on this," and I'm like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And we went up, and as we were going up, I just felt queasy, like this ain't cool. I don't know about this. I don't like this. And we got to the top, and we hovered there. And it was all I kept hearing was like the mechanics of the ride were like grinding gears and stuff. And we hovered there for a good while. And then out of nowhere, boom, we just dropped down. And I said, I'm not doing that again. That was too scary.
Yeah, I will ride roller coasters. But, there's majority of roller coasters, they start that climb up real high.
Yeah.
I kind of freak out during that. Then once I go, I'm okay. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But it's that, I don't want to look out the side. I'm just holding on, looking straight ahead.
And the rides where you're on a swing and it goes up in the air and then you're swinging around and around on it looks like a kiddie swing, but you're like in a chair, it's strapped down. I ain't doing that either. No chance. All right, let's go around Major League Baseball. The San Francisco Giants beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 5-3. Again, the Giants are playing really good right now, and the Pirates are kind of struggling. They haven't been. They're 34-39. I think the Giants finished out a sweep there. The Minnesota Twins and Philadelphia Phillies. I said this yesterday. I couldn't care less about these teams. I think they're terrible. Both of them are terrible. Yet the Phillies win 7-3, pounding out 15 hits. Ryan Howard hit his 11th home run of the year. How long is Ryan Howard going to be playing in this league? How old is he? 37, 38?
Got to be
up there, right?
Yeah, because he was 27 when he came in.
Yes.
And that was 2007?
Teddy Glavis also hit his 7th home run of the year. Eichhoff goes to 5-9. I thought he'd have a better year right now. I like Jared Eichhoff. I thought he'd be pitching a little bit better. But he plays for the Phillies. They probably give him zero run support.
Yeah.
He's got an ERA around 3. He should be fine.
Yeah, he's someone that's good. He just needs a better team.
Now, I heard about this game, but I don't know the details. I heard that the Seattle Mariners really blew this game against the Tigers today, this afternoon.
I did too, and I never
Tigers
I
won
5-4,
but I heard that this was just a mistake. Seattle should be ashamed of themselves for losing this. Chris Iannetta hit his 7th home run of the year, but it was Nelson Cruz that had 2 home runs for Seattle. They hit 4 of them in the win, all solo shots, but the Tigers end up winning this one 5-4 in 10. So I don't know how the Seattle Mariners lost, but they did. Boston Red Sox beat Chicago 8-7. This helps. This avoids the sweep, right? The White
Sox
were going
yes.
for the sweep against the Red Sox. Craig Kimball picking up the win. This happened in 10 innings. Jose Abreu hitting his 11th home run of the year for Chicago. The Miami Marlins beat the Cubs 4-2. Theo, what's going on with the Cubs now? This is
blow
what a four-game losing.
Yep.
Blow it up.
Blow
four-game losing skid.
Start over.
Maybe Theo Epstein was right when he said, we're not getting too high on this. The
right.
dark days are coming. Remember that?
What?
We were trying to pull that wool over our eyes. Maybe he knew something about this time of year with the Cubs.
When I look at the Cubs, their offense is similar to the Red Sox. Very good, very potent. But they go in long slumps, which is bad for the Cubs. And that's what happened, remember, last year in the playoffs.
That's exactly
right.
They
hit the Mets starting pitching, and they just stopped hitting. And that's just kind of what they're going through now. Obviously, we all know they're going to be in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And
David Ross homered for the Cubs. Giancarlo Stanton is 14th for the Marlins. Marcelo Zuna's having a good year. He
is.
Had his 16th of his home run. Pay attention to Marcell Ozuna of the Miami Marlins. But again, they beat the Cubs, and the Cubs have lost four straight now. The Atlanta Braves beat the New York Mets 4-3. This is getting boring. The Mets have lost four straight to the Braves now. The Braves simply have their number. I mean, Adonis Garcia hits a two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth inning. Matt Harvey pitched a relatively decent game tonight. And yet Addison Reed couldn't hold the lead. And the Braves win and have now won four straight against the Mets in six of their last eight games. Don't make the Braves a story here. No, they stink. They deserve to stink. San Diego beat Cincinnati 7-4. A couple of home runs in this one. Adam Duvall hit his 21st. Why am I talking about Adam Duvall? Why have I missed him too?
And I think everybody's missed him. Nobody knows who he is.
He's leading. He's tied for the lead. League lead, right? With Nolan Arenado?
Yeah, nobody knows who he is, but he's
nobody
just
knows
killing
who he
the
is.
Ball.
Good job. Matt Kemp homered his 16th of the year, and let's see, Derek Norris also homered his 10th. I gotta get like a better box score page where I can just rip these off real quick. Colorado Rockies over Arizona. I'm sorry, Arizona over Colorado 7-6 at Coors Field. Mark Reynolds homered for the Rockies. Jake Lamb homered for the Diamondbacks, his 15th of the season. And the Oakland A's beat the LA Angels 5-4. We're gonna blow up the Angels because they're just as awful as any other team in baseball.
Well, and that's the thing with the Angels. They don't have a farm system. They don't have a good team.
Nothing.
They're just stuck. They should just get rid of everybody and at least see what teams offer on Mike Trout. At least see.
Tim Lincecum, 1-1. Look, if you're the Angels, listen, I know we're talking about structure here, but if you can't build a team around Mike Trout in Los Angeles, in Anaheim, L.A. area, then take your team and move it somewhere else or get out of the league.
Well, they just spent
the
so
Angels
much
should have been
dumb
building
money.
This team.
I mean, look at Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton.
Oh, exactly.
Who is it? CJ. What the?
CJ Wilson?
Wilson, yes.
Yeah.
They gave him a ton of money.
Shouldn't still be swimming in cash?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that guy?
They keep spending.
Swimming
spend
in cash.
On bad.
Yeah, that's right. They need a guy who's a little bit more smarter with the dough.
Right.
But they're 31-42. And with Mike Trout and the LA area, you should be building a solid team around that kid.
Yep.
We said this about Bryce Harper. There is young talent that Major League Baseball has to start showcasing, has to start putting in the forefront. Mike Trout suffers a little bit of it because he's on the West Coast and East Coast guys don't get to see him on a daily basis. You don't get to watch a lot of his games. But because of the internet, on-demand video, and all of that stuff, you can see his highlights the next morning if they're doing great. He's one. Bryce Harper's one. There is young talent that's got to be showcased. You can't showcase a guy when he's on a lousy team and that lousy team isn't making an impact. Mike Trout, you've got to build a team around Mike Trout. It's absolutely essential. So there was only 9 games on the slate tonight. A lot of teams traveling, getting ready for weekend series, but that's your wrap-up in Major League Baseball. All right, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Again, we've been talking NBA draft tonight. Adam Silver got a little booed tonight. Did you hear that when he walked out on stage? Keeping up the tradition of booing the commissioner at the draft. Well done. I don't know why you would. Why would you boo Adam Silver if you were at fan base? Other than we used to do this to Stern, we might as well do this to him.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that's the only reason.
He hasn't really done anything controversial, other than he keeps quiet in certain situations. But he hasn't had that one. He hasn't had that one decision that make you go, oh, wait a minute here. Adam Silver is really conspiratorial. He doesn't really have that. He seems pretty basic as a commissioner goes.
I love the fact that he got basically every foreign name exactly right, but he kept screwing up team names.
Yeah,
like he called
that's
the 76ers the Philadelphia Selections. And yeah. He just made a bunch of mistakes. And it was every time he did it, it was on a European player's name, when they were drafted.
You know what's really weird, though? Like, if you don't, you could practice those names all day and still screw it up.
Oh, 100%.
Just when you get in there and you feel the heat of the lights and you're trying to say, you know, whatever name is up there, and you're like, I just did 1,000 of these in rehearsal and now I can't remember. And then you just call them, and then you just mumble it out.
Yeah.
Like, and hope for the best. All right, Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue through the night tonight, as we close out the week, heading into the weekend. NBA draft tonight, like I said, pretty good show. Not a great show, but it was still a good enough show. Good luck, Ben Simmons in Philadelphia and Brandon Ingram in Los Angeles. Ingram seemed pretty content with going to Philadelphia. I really thought he was going to force Philly's hand there, but I think there's an allure of being the number one pick that you just can't turn down. You take it. Steven on Twitter, I developed a fear of heights riding the big shot on top of the stratosphere in Las Vegas. Even did the coaster up there. Oh my God, those rides, I would never do those rides. I think the big shot is the one that is a drop ride that's on top of the needle on the stratosphere, which makes it even worse. No chance. I'm not doing those. I went on a drop ride, Universal Studios, I think in Orlando. It was, because it was based on Dr. Doom, the Marvel character, Dr. Doom, the villain. And so we thought it was a standard drop ride. So my brother and I got on it, and it wasn't. You know how those drop rides will ratchet you up slowly? You're in the chair, and it's like you start climbing, you climb, and then you drop. This thing propelled you up the pole very, very fast. Like you felt like you were going to fall off, like you were going to be launched off the pole and just flown out to the park. That was petrifying, absolutely petrifying. But, you know, still kind of a rush. Now, drop rides, I don't do at amusement parks. I don't do those. I don't do the swings that go up in the air and whip you around. The other ride I never do anymore, and this is more because rides will make you nauseous, and then they make you nauseous forever. Maybe you were eating, maybe you ate something bad or something, and it's not really the ride's fault, but you just can't get over the idea the ride made you kind of sick. A couple of years ago, we were at a park in Kentucky with my brother and my family, and you know those rides that spin you around so fast that and you end up sticking through centrifugal force, you end up sticking to the sides, and then the floor drops out from under you, but you're spinning so fast that you're just stuck to the side. Well, it was like a hot, sticky day, and I rode that. And I don't know what I ate before, but I just got so dizzy and nauseous, and the feeling never left me the whole day. It just made me sick the whole day. And ever since then, I won't go on those either. So I don't know. I'm getting too old. My father is retired, and he loves roller coasters, and he loves thrill rides. And I'm 22 years younger than he is. And I'm getting like, I don't know if I should go on that. You know, I got a bad hip. I'm starting to sound like I'm the one that should be retired. Meanwhile, my grandpa, my father, is taking his grandkids on every roller coaster under the sun, going through the flip rides, going whatever. Me, I'm like, oh, no, I shouldn't be like that. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Hey, just a reminder again, countdown to kickoff, 32 teams, 32 shows. It starts July 25th. Go to our Facebook page, Tony D Radio, Tony D Radio Show, I should say, on Facebook. Starting, we'll do it like a week before that kicks off. We'll give you the full schedule of what we're going to do that week. Check that page, and you will get the rundown of every week of what teams that we're going to be previewing as we get our countdown to kickoff in the NFL. Oh, what do we, you know, what's the next big sporting thing outside of, besides that, the British Open?
Yeah, I was going to say the British.
The hot dog eating contest at Coney Island?
NBA free agency.
NBA free agency is going to be big.
Normally kicks off first week of July. Normally July 2nd, 3rd. Fourth, right in there, and then they start signing deals a week later.
I remember a couple of years ago, I was on this network with Dwight Howard when he went to Houston, and then I think it was last year you and I were on with the big DeAndre Jordan deal. Remember where they kept him captive in his house
down here,
where Blake Griffin like they basically held him prisoner, quote unquote, in the loosest term possible, so that Mark Cuban couldn't get a hold of him. It was really dramatic. Remember that? Cuban was like reportedly in Houston looking for him. And then he said, no, I wasn't in Houston looking for him. And it was a lot of drama. I expect drama again from the NBA when it comes to free agency. Over under on how many visits Kevin Durant takes in his free agent trip.
I'm going to say 4.
And I think four is a good number. I would be around there too. I think four big ones, real big ones. When he gets there and he walks into the arena and they've got his name in lights and they've got players talking to him. What's Phil Jackson's big pitch going to be in New York?
Come play with all the injured stars.
Come play with the injured stars. Yeah, you know, I've won many championships, Kevin. I have no chance winning one here, but come to New York anyway.
And a big European player.
Yeah, the one you called the unicorn.
Right.
Durant and the unicorn. Poor Melo. God, poor Carmelo Anthony. He's going to go his whole career with not only not winning a championship, he isn't even going to play for one.
It should just be Phil Jackson sitting at a table at half court in Madison Square Garden. When KD walks in, he goes, "Well, at least we got you here. We know we're not going to sign you." Take, like, snap a picture that you can send to the press and be like, "Well, he was here. He visited."
Do you think they let Spike Lee involved? Did they have anything to do with the
probably.
Pitch? Yeah, bring in Spike Lee.
Probably makes like a little mini movie.
Mini movie, right, for Durant?
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? If Durant's in town, I want to go into the city and just be around Madison Square Garden. I just want to be around.
Yeah, you should.
I would just zip on the train over to Madison Square Garden and just be around. Just to see Knicks fans just conglomerate around that arena, just doing whatever it takes to just woo Kevin Durant to the Big Apple.
Have a bunch of signs and stuff.
Yeah, I remember I told you guys the story about Peyton Manning when he went to go visit the Titans, and all the fans started gathering outside the facility, and when he left, they all sang Rocky Top. Fans will go crazy.
That's cool.
That is kind of cool. Still didn't help him.
No.
Still, he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to Denver because this team sucks." Yeah, but Kevin Durant, I mean, break out all the stops for Durant. We'll continue our conversation on the NBA draft, what I liked and what I did not like. We'll also talk about Vegas NHL. It's all coming up next on Yahoo Sports Radio.